Parshas Beshalach is certainly a very dramatic parasha. We have the emancipation, we have the freedom, we have Klal Yisrael leaving Mitzrayim. We have a lot going on. There's Kriyas Yamsuf. Excuse the noise, I'll go down soon. There's a Kriyas Yamsuf, there's a Mon. There's a complaints begin. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sorts him out. We have a name of this week's parasha called Shabbos Shira. There's a lot going on in this parasha. But ultimately, what is it all about? What are you supposed to walk away with? What is a message that the whole incredible, fantastic Nes of Kriyas Yamsuf is supposed to teach us? So the Pasuk itself answers that. In Perek Yudalad, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Yisrael es hayod ha-gedoyla asha osa Hashem b'mitzrayim. Klal Yisrael saw the great hand, the great miracle. Asha osa Hashem b'mitzrayim, Hashem did b'mitzrayim. Vayiru omes Hashem, and they feared Hashem, vayaminu b'Hashem u'moshe avdoi, and they believed in Hashem and Moshe avdoi. In other words, to put this in one word, it's emunah. It's emunah. Klal Yisrael learned for the first time real emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, a real emunah in Gedolei Torah. That's it. The Kriyas Yamsuf was all about emunah. So Chezkel Levenstein asks, Klal Yisrael believed many times beforehand. Vayaminu, vayamin b'Hashem, if said before, believed in Moshe. What is this emunah over here that seemed to be unique? This is on the backdrop of Ten Makus. This is on the backdrop of HaKadosh Baruch Hu identifying exactly what's going to happen with incredible feats of nature, or how it's going to change nature. And they saw this happening. Even the Mitzrayim said this is Yad Hashem. Even the Mitzrayim recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Paroi recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, whose competition, he has competed with him. And he recognized what was going on. So why over here, just by Kriyas Yamsuf, do we talk about V'yaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe avdei? Here they believed. What was greater over here that they did not have previously in the other miracles of the Ten Makos? That is a question of Rav Chezkel Levenstein. So he says that, Rav Chezkel Levenstein says that this. He says, and we discussed it last week, that there is much more than knowing there is a Hashem. We discussed last week that most people, unless they have a very biased opinion, most goyim know that there's a Hashem, there's a God that created the world. Unless they're biased, unless they don't want to know, they know there's a Hashem. There's idiyas Hashem, they know there's a Hashem. What they don't know is, and that's very difficult for even great people, is to see Hashem on a regular basis. Shavisi Hashem lenegdi tamid, to actually have a Kodesh Baruch in front of us, to live with the concept of a Kodesh Baruch Hu watching at every action, and therefore being able to give us din v'cheshbon every single thing we do. If we lived in that kind of mindset of Shavisi Hashem Nektomi, knew how Kodesh Baruch Hu was facing and watching us every single action, we wouldn't act in a particular way. If we went to the God Lador, we would act differently. Yeah, we don't speed in front of a police car that has Shteret Tnua on the side. We don't do that. We know speeding is illegal and it can catch us. Okay, but it's different if you see a blue and red flashing light behind you in the mirrors. We don't run our life with Shavisa Hashem Negdi Tomid. Regular people, Gedolei Torah too, but the regular person doesn't do it. It's very, very difficult to do that. Why is it so difficult? Because ultimately, to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when it's Einoi Demus HaGuf V'Einoi Guf, he's not physical, he doesn't have any relationship to physicality, to be able to identify his being and to see him, as it were, in this world, when he does not have a physicality, is very difficult. Very difficult. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, though, made it easier for us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu did put into the very fabric of the world his agents that remind us of his existence. And that's called Schar V'Einish. That's called reward and punishment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Schar V'Einish. And if we are able to see Schar V'Einish, if we saw that if we behaved well, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us incredible reward. And if we behaved badly, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes us. And we saw that, and we identified with that, and kept that in our mind constantly, then we'd also be able to see, as it were, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But we don't see it, because sometimes we do fantastic things and we get punished for it. And sometimes we do terrible things and we seem to get away with it. So the Schar V'Einish is not something that we can easily identify with on an ongoing basis, so again we don't see Hashem. The Ten Makos, in the time of Mitzrayim, was an intensive time of recognizing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the element of Oynesh, of seeing Mitzrayim get punished in ways of Midah K'neged Midah, measure for measure. But he did not necessarily see any element there that completely identified exact opposite on the side of schar. He had oinish without the schar. Says Reb Chatzkel, Kriyas Yamsuf was the greatest vision of schar v'oinish. On the side of the Mitzrayim, there was turmoil, there was chaos, there was fire. There's a fire of Gehenna, Chazal say. There's a fire over there, there's a fire of Gehenna. There was water, they were being churned up and down, they were being ripped apart, the wheels were coming off the chariots, they were being pulled in, they were literally being thrown in the air and tossed about and crushed in the waters. There was chaos, that was Gehenna. And at exactly the same time, Klal Yisrael were going through perfect tranquility. They're going through nace after nace. They had fresh fruit trees were growing in the tunnels. They had water, they had fresh water inside the sea. It was cushioned. The path was cushioned. It was lit. They had lights on the sides. They could see from one tunnel to the other. It was incredible Gan Eden. So they had Gan Eden and Gehenna placed right next to each other. So when any person viewed what was going on, they saw the greatest vision of Schar V'Oinish ever in history. It's never happened since. Never happened since they saw the Schar V'Oinish as clearly as that in one go. Seeing that Schar V'Oinish was seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayar Yisrael is the Yod HaGdolah. They saw the Yod HaGdolah. They saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yod HaGdolah. Asha Osa Hashem B'Mitzrayim, that's what they did to Mitzrayim. Vayaminu b'Hashem v'Moshe after, and therefore they believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is something they could see. The apostle says very clearly on. The apostle says later, Yimencha Hashem nedore b'koyach. Hashem is lahatzel et Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mincha nedore Hashem to save HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He saves Klal Yisrael with his strength. Carries on the apostle. Vayimincha Hashenis, and on the other hand, Tirat Oyev was ripping apart the enemy. Schar V'Oinish is something that is able to identify. A person saw that in his eyes, he sees Shavisa Hashem Negdi Tomid. He has a Kodesh Baruch Hu's vision. Now, if that was the case, Klal Yisrael had got this incredible insight of who a Kodesh Baruch Hu was by the Kriyas Yam Suf, and therefore you can understand that before they went into the Kriyas Yam Suf, they did not have this vision. They weren't as clear. They didn't have this knowledge of who a Kodesh Baruch Hu was, and therefore you could expect them to be on different levels of emunah, different levels of betochen. And actually, you see that in the pasuk. Very interesting. The Vilna Gaon points out that there's two pasukim that seem very similar, but if you identify carefully with the pasuk, you'll see two major differences. In Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chof Beis, it talks about the nace of Kriyas Yamsu. Perek Yud Dalet, Pasuk Chof Beis, Vayavoyu Bnei Yisrael B'soich Hayom Vayabosho. Klal Yisrael came b'soy chayom into the sea by a bosh on a dry land, v'hamayim lahem choyma, and the water was to them a choyma, was to them a wall, miminom umismoilom, from the right hand side and from the left hand side. That is in Perek Yudalad Pasuk Chof Beis. In the same parasha, same Perek Yudalad Pasuk Chof Tes, it says uvnei Yisrael and Klal Yisrael holchu by a bosh b'toy chayom, went into the dry land inside the sea. V'amayim lahem, and the water was to them. We read it chaymo, but in the Sefer Torah it says chaymo, means anger. Yeah, miminom umisvoinim, from right and left. So look carefully. On the first pasuk it says very clearly, they went b'soy chayom into the sea by a bosh on the dry land, and it says the word chaymo. Later on it says it went into by a bosh, it went into the dry land into the sea. What's the difference? Says the Vilna Gaon, there are two groups of people. There are people who are the believers, and the people who are the semi-believers, the semi-cynics. You had Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda, you know, you've got to give them the credit. These people deserve kingship. They're fearless. They didn't fear Yaakov Avinu, Yehuda stands up to his father. He didn't fear Yosef, and they don't fear the sea either. The whole Shevet Levi, Nachshon ben Amminadav, jumped into the water. The whole Shevet Yehuda followed suit, and they all went into the water. That's what the pasuk is talking about. They went into the water. That's what the pasuk says in pasuk Chof Dalet, pasuk Chof Beis. Vayvoy bnei Yisrael b'soy chayom. They went into the sea. Then it became by a bosha, and then it turned dry. And that was Chima. Kodesh Baruch Hu made for them huge walls based on that miracle. Why? Because at a time of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Malachim are saying, Kodesh Baruch Hu, perfect time to drown Klal Yisrael. Look, Mitzrayim are Oivdei Avodah Zarah, serving Avodah Zarah. The Jews are Oivdei Avodah Zarah. You know, let's get rid of them both at the same time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, these people had emunah, these people had bitachon, they believed in me, they went into the sea when I told them to do so. Hoyalehem choymo. There I make for them a beautiful wall. Later on in the parasha, there were people who weren't so sure. They didn't jump into the sea and turn into the dry land. So the Vilna Gaon, no. They went by a boshor b'toy chayom. They first waited till it got dry. When it got dry in the sea, then they went in. And they didn't have this level of emunah. And therefore, the apostle says it was chayma without the vav. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had anger with them why they did not go into the sea with the same kind of emunah. So there's big, there are large differences between Klal Yisrael's different levels before Kriyas Yamsuf, that they had two different levels, and we would expect what we just said now, that with Kriyas Yamsuf they would all have that any issues they may have had ironed out and it'd all be equal. But the fact is, as usual, the women did a lot better job than the men in their munah. Listen to this beautiful vort of Rav Shimon Schwab. Beautiful. And it's so clear. If you look in over here, Perikud Dalet, it talks, it's going through the whole, sorry, Perikud Tesvav, it goes through the whole Shira. Oz, Yoshe, Moshe, Bnei Yisrael, go through the whole Shira. Beautiful, beautiful. It comes to the end of the Shira. And it says, final pasuk, Hashem Yimloich La'olam Void, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be the Melech forever. Then it says, Ki Vasus Pare Brich with Rashi Bayom, because, Rashi by the way says, Ki over here is example of because, yeah? Because, yeah, got it in Perik Tes Vav, pasuk Yutes? Yeah? Ki Vasus Pare Brich with Rashi Bayom, because Pare and his Richboy went into the sea. Yoshev Hashem Aleim Esmeayom, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu put the sea on them. Uvnei Yisrael Holcho Boshei Chayom, and they went into the Boshei Chayom. Next pasuk, Vatikach Miriam Hanavia Achis Aaron Es Hatoif Biyado. She took the toif, she took the symbols in her hand. Vateitzeno Kol Anoshim. All the women went out. Achreha after her, Batufim Umucholos with his different symbols and instruments. And Miriam answered, Shiro LaHashem Ki Goy Ga'ah Sus Varoichve Ramavayom. So what's going on over here? What's going on over here? We know that the only reason why Klal Yisrael said Shira was because it was after what happened. They saw very clearly that the Klal Yisrael saw Mitzrayim getting drowned. And then, after Vayar Yisrael, the other Gosh, also Shem Mitzrayim, they saw what happened. Then Oz Yoshe Moshe started to sing Shira. Why is this pasuk at the end? Ki vos Susparoi? Because Susparoi came, and therefore, without that pasuk, would we know that it's saying Shira because of Kriyas Yamsuf? Of course. What's ki vasus para because vasus para? What's that necessary for? Why is that interruption for? What's all that about? So Rashi explains it's because there's susparoi, that's when it said Shira. But why do we need that? He already said very clearly that Shira is only based on Kriyas Yamsuf. Number one. Number two, what is this? Vatikach mirim hanaviach is aron satoipa. Why is this continuation? What's this pasuk interrupting between the Shira of the men with the Apostle Kivos of Parai, and then talks about the Shira of the women, and they have a much shorter Shira. Women have a lot less to say. And it says, Vatana Hemiram, Shira Lashem Kigoy Ga'o, Sus Varoich. They said one Apostle, men rambled on, Oz Yoshe Moshe. Imagine how, you know, doubling would be a lot earlier if it just did the women's Shira, right? What was the advantage of the women's Shira over the men? What's going on over here? What's happening? Says Rav Shimon Schwab, fantastic. He says, it was the women that saved Klal Yisrael from Mitzrayim. It was their emunah and their bitachon. The women out, you know, they completely knocked the men out with their emunah and bitachon. They were the leaders in the emunah and bitachon. He says, Klal Yisrael, when did they say Shira? When did Klal Yisrael say Shira? The pasuk says, Vayar Yisrael is Mitzrayim meis al sfasayom. And Perikudal Apostle Lamud, when did Klal Yisrael say Shira? When they saw Mitzrayim mace dead al Sfasayom on the side of the sea. In other words, when Klal Yisrael saw the Mitzrayim being battered, being punished, being tossed around in the sea, it wasn't enough for them. Maybe they're getting tossed, and afterwards they'll climb out and attack us again. I'm not ready to say Shira yet. I'm only going to say Shira after I see them dead. wiped out, spat out on the side of the sea, then I can say Shira. The Pasuk says, when Klal Yisrael saw Eretz Yisrael meis al sfas hayom on the side of the sea, then Oz Yoshev Moshe. Then they said Shira. That was by the men. Men had to see the entire picture. Just because the Kodesh Baruch is helping them 95% of the time, I don't know, I need 100% before I can say Shira. By the women, it was different. Says a Pasuk, Kivosus paroi brich boi frosh bayom. As soon as the paroi and his chariots came into the sea, Vayoshev Hashem aleim es mei hayom, and they saw the water going on top of them, Uvnei Yisrael holchu by Barshu b'toy chayom, and Klal Yisrael was still going through the water at that stage, where Klal Yisrael was still going through the water and had not yet seen the Mitzrayim tossed on the side of the sea. Already at that stage, Vatikach Miriam Hanaviah toif b'yodo, at that stage already Miriam Hanaviah started saying Shira. And what did she say? Shira l'ashen k'goy go'o sus v'roich v'y roma b'yom. In other words, I don't have to see what's happening that is spat out afterwards. As long as they're in the sea, I have enough emunah to start saying Shira right now. So Kivos Pus Paroi, explained Shimon Schwab, is a introduction to when the women started saying Shira. They didn't wait to see Mesa Svasayon. As soon as Kivos Pus Paroi, Miriam actually said Shira. It's just a little bit difficult. It has a parash in the middle. There's an interruption in the middle. I would prefer to have the pay in full Pasuk Yutess. But be that as it may. So you see from here.
It's the same by the men. There's also an interruption. Even though their explanations are for...
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So it fits into the, to the sequence.
The women did sing together with the men in their company.
So you said the women actually said Shira before the men.
Mm-hmm. But if they were still in the sea, if they said it when the Jews were still going through the sea, right, not when the Jews were out, therefore, they're mixed together.
Yeah, it means they said it before.
And with the men around.
Yeah. I don't know exactly how exactly they did it. In other words, when they may have separated themselves somehow or another from the men while they're going through the sea. But in other words, exactly. Which in other words, it comes out a tremendous chiddush according to this. We come along and we think Moshe Rabbeinu said Shira, and then women sort of just followed on and said, "Oh yeah, so we're also going to say Shira." According to this explanation, it's completely different. The men said Shira later than women said Shira, and it's actually the Torah is not in order of sequence over here at all. But you're right, exactly how they did it with Tznius has to be looked into. Okay, that's what Shimon Schwab, which means that even after Kriyas Yamsuf, and after seeing everything, still, with all that, the men were at one level and the women were at a different level. Why? We just said beforehand, if you see Schav or Inish, if you have the elements of seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of Shavisi HaShem, Vayari Svaz Yagda Gdoila, how can it be different? Why were they on different levels? Why didn't they actually see HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly and be in the same level? So I want to tell you a very, very interesting aside. And this is from Chanuch Leibowitz. Look in the posset carefully. I'm not going to spend too much time on this because I don't have much time, but look at the Pasuk carefully. This is in Perek Yudalad Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayar Yisrael es ha-yod ha-gdoilo asha osa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. They saw the yod ha-gdoilo that Hashem did to Mitzrayim. Yeah? So I would say once they saw the yod ha-gdoilo, once they saw the tremendous miracle, then Oz Yoshe Maisha, then start saying Shira. They saw the Schav Oynes, they say Shira. The Pasuk doesn't say that. The Pasuk says, Vayiro ha'ones Hashem. They had fear, Vayiro, the Klal Yisrael saw Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem, and they worked on their munah, u'Moshe Avdoi, u'Moshe Avdoi. And because of their munah, all the Yoshe Moshe began to say the Shira. In other words, we would expect the Pasuk to say, as soon as they saw Hashem, they said Shira. No. They saw Hashem, and they believed in Hashem, and therefore they said Shira. Says a Medrash, from here we learn that a person has to inspire themselves before the Davar Shemona Esrei. Just like there's a Chiyuv to be Soymach Ge'ula L'Tfila. Ge'ula is the reference of knowing Kodesh Baruch around the world, that's Gaal Yisrael, before Shemona Esrei. Work on yourself on a Munna before Shemona Esrei of Ge'ula, and then start Shemona Esrei, which is the the tefillah, just like in a time of Kriyas Yamsuf, where they had this working on their emunah, b'amina b'Hashem, and then they got the Siyata Dishmaya, then they got the incredible Nevuah of saying Oz Yoshe Moshe. In other words, it did not work automatically that seeing these big miracles gave them the impetus and the knowledge and the understanding and the perfection to be able to say Oz Yoshe Moshe just like that. They had to work on their emunah. They had to work on themselves and internalize it and initiate a change within themselves, and only through that they were able to receive the special help from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to have the Nevuah to say Oz Yoshe Moshe. And this says, the Medrash teaches us that every single time we daven Shemona Esrei, we should also get within our kishkas, get within ourselves emunah in Hashem, and then we'll be able to daven properly. The question is, why did they have to work on themselves? They saw Yad Hashem, Vayira Amas Hashem, they saw Hashem, let them straight away say Shira, say praise. What's this Vayimina B'Hashem? Why is that middle stage important? Says a Henoch Lebowitz, and this is a fact. I'll tell you a story very quickly. One of my very, very close Talmidim is a heart specialist. And before he became Frum, he was working in Hadassah, in Karim, in cardiology, working on different operations. He's watching different operations. And what they do is, they put in, I'm not sure what it's called, stints? I'm not sure. They put in like little tubes into the heart. When they open heart, obviously they've got to clear it, right? And there's certain areas where it's very blocked. So they put in little tubes to see how wide the blockage is. Okay? So he put it in. It's his job to put it in. And it didn't go in properly because it was too, the first one he used was too blocked, so he put in a thinner one and it also didn't go in, so he used a third one and that went in, and it measured the thickness of the blockage based on that. This man who's being operated on was a very special person, and he had a very special family davening for him outside. They go through the operation, and again just before they close it up, they again measure, I don't know why, the measure again. He put in that third one that he put in beforehand, and it went in very, very easily. He put in the second one that he originally put in, and it went in also very, very easily. He put in the first one he put in, and it went in very, very easily. He took a different tube that hadn't yet put in, and that also went in easy. In other words, the tube had released itself miraculously. It cannot be explained why. Again, I'm not a cardiologist, I can't explain to you why, but it was a nace. This is something that doesn't happen. So this fellow called Daniel said to the doctor, isn't this incredible? Isn't this a miracle? He says, ze kore, nisim korim. Miracles happen. So he said, does that mean you're going to keep Shabbos? He says, nah, tazov, leave it. No, let's move on. What's Peshat? Okay, so that was a nace. We don't understand what kind of nace is because we're not cardiologists. But people see incredible miracles and they move on. They move on. They leave it behind. Why is that? Because a miracle does not work on one to change one unless one internalizes it. And vayaminu. If a person waits to see the tremendous miracle in life, and if I see that, I'll change. You'll be able to see it, and if unless you work on yourself and you're willing to work on yourself, you'll see it and it'll go right over your head and you'll carry on in life. You'll not change one least little bit. Vayar Yisrael. Es yad gadol, saw the yad gadol. Vayira on Hashem, and they saw Hashem, and they worked on themselves. Vayaminu b'Hashem, they worked on their own emunah, and that was well. That was when they were zeicha. That was when they were worthy to get Oz Yoshe Moshe. To live through life, just seeing great things, unless one works on oneself, one leaves it all behind. The beginning of the parasha says that the Mitzrayim said. In Perik Yudala Pasuk Hey, but you got a Melech Mitzrayim Kivarach Om. They ran off. But you hafich levav paravodav el Om. But Mal Zoyi Sosinu. What do we do? Kishlachnu Es Yisrael Madenu. What do we do? Sending Klal Yisrael out. I mean, what did he do? The reason why he sent them out was not because he decided to do so. It's because you were absolutely coerced to do such a thing. You're pushed and forced and whipped and beaten until you made such a thing. Well, you've forgotten that half your family's dead. Your children's dead. Your Bukhari, remember that Bukhari, he's dead. Right? Every family lost somebody. Why did they let Klal Yisrael out? Of course they let them out because you're forced to do so. The teretz is, you can see the biggest nissim. But unless you want it to internalize and become part of you, it's not going to make a difference. I want to briefly move on to the end of the parasha and show that unless a person uses what he has not when he sees a miracle, but internalizes it and uses the munah and the betochen when he doesn't have what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him, then he's missing the whole message. Again, very briefly, the end of the parasha talks about the incredible nes of Mon. Mon came down, every single day was Monday. Phenomenal thing, right?
That's a nightmare.
Except Shabbos.
What's that?
Isn't that a nightmare? Every single day is Monday.
every day was Monday. You had Monday blues. Okay, so over here, if you look in the Pasuk, it says, very strange Pasuk, and Rashi explains what's going on. In Perek Tes Zayin, it says, in Perek Tes Zayin Pasuk Chofei, V'yoymeh Moshe, Moshe said to them, Ichlu hayom, eat today, ki Shabbos hayom Hashem, because today is Shabbos. Go and eat today. So what does this base itself on? Go and eat. What's the idea behind this? Says Rashi, Shachris, shohayiragidim lotzeis, Shachris, when they usually went out to collect them on, lilkoit, bo lishol, they went to ask Moshe Rabbeinu Shabbos morning, im neitzei im lav, should I go out or not? Should I go out to collect them on or not? Oyma lehem, he said to them, es shebeyedchem ochlu, go and eat what's in your hands. Ask Yaakov Kamenetsky doesn't understand. The question to Moshe Rabbeinu was, should we go out Shabbos morning to collect mon? Moshe should have answered to them, no, don't go out to collect mon. Should we go out? No, don't go out. Their question was, should we go out? Moshe Rabbeinu says, eat. How is that answer reflecting the question? Should we go out? No, eat. What's behind that? Says Yaakov Kamenetsky, what the question must have been was, Moshe Rabbeinu, should we go out? Because if we don't go out, we can't eat. Because if we eat everything we have in our house, we don't get new mon, we're going to starve. What are we going to do? Should we go out and collect mon, and then we would eat? But if we don't go out, we're not going to eat. And that Moshe Rabbeinu says to them, eat. You have nothing to worry about. Ki Shabbos hayom la'Hashem. Shabbos is all about emunah. Shabbos is not about knowing there's money in the bank tomorrow, and therefore I can keep Shabbos today. There are people in America, Rabbi Yisai, who in the 1920s and 30s did not have a job on Sunday morning. They lose a job on the Fridays, come to Shabbos and have a proper Shabbos, and then go back and start looking for work on Sunday again. That was a fact. But Shabbos is about emunah betochen. It's saying to Kodesh Baruch, I don't have anything with me right now. I'm eating everything from my home, and still I'm not going to go out and collect food. That is a koyach of emunah. Having nothing at home, basing yourself on what you had in the previous past, knowledge of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his ability to provide, eating all the provisions that you have left at home, and being comfortable with that. The Gemara says, based on that, the Gemara says, it says over here, Ichlu hayoim, hayoim, v'yom yishechlu hayoim, eat today, ki Shabbos hayoim, Hayoim loim simsusu basode. It's a three times in the pasuk hayoim. You know what that three hayoims are for? For the three su'udas from Shabbos. Says the Gemara in Shabbos of Kuf Yud Ches Madalef. Omer Shimon ben Pazi. Kola mekayim sholoish su'udos b'Shabbos. Anyone who's mekayim, what's mekayim mean? Fulfills is not a good word. It's filling it in because it's squeezing in. Kola mekayim. Nitzel Misholosh Pronius get saved with three Pronius. After Yaakov Kamenetsky, it should just say much easier. We should just say, Kola Oichel Gimel Udus B'Shabbos, anyone who eats will have, you know, a wonderful, be saved from three Pronius. From Chevel, what's that? Chevel Mashiach and Chesem Mason, there's three different things, right? I forgot what the third one was. Yeah? So, just say Kola Oichel. What's this Kola Mekayim? Say, he says,
it's a war of Gog and Magog.
Gog and Magog, yeah. It's Kuf Yud Ches Madalef, you can look it up. Kuf Yud Ches Madalef. Says the Yaakov Kamenetsky, another question. He says, the Gemara says, Kol ma'aneh gesa Shabbos, a person who has oinig on Shabbos, noisnim loy nachlo b'li mitzorim. He receives a nachlo without any mitzorim, without any boundaries. Shnema, oz tis ana gel Hashem, have oinig with a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And the Pasuk says, and I'll give you nachlas Yaakov avichol, nachlo of Yaakov. Says the Medrash, not like Avraham. The Gemara, also in Kuf Yud Ches, not like Avraham that says Kumis Alech Ba'aretz, not like Yitzchok that says Kilocho Ulzarocha Eten Es Kol HaRotzei Se'el, But to Yaakov that says, "Foratz to Yom of a Kemas Foyn of a Negbo." Why does a Kodesh Baruch Hu give us the promise of the land of Eretz Yisrael like he gave to Yaakov and not to Avraham and Yitzchok? Says Yaakov Kamenetsky that the idea of what Shabbos is Kol HaMekayim. It's not Kol HaOichel. Kol HaOichel means a person who eats, but he may have a fridge full with food that lasts him for Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. He may be talking about a person who has a very full bank account, a person whose larder is full with food. That would make sense to say Kol HaOichel. Kol HaMekayim means a person who is staunch, a person who is strong, and he eats the three meals on Shabbos when he has nothing left from Motzei Shabbos. Kol HaMekayim, he keeps himself strong, and he fulfills his obligations, even when he has nothing left. That is a person who knows what a Kodesh Baruch is. That's a person who knows how to keep a Shabbos properly. And therefore, he will receive a reward, not like Avram, that got the reward of getting Eretz Yisrael, when Avram was already in Eretz Yisrael. Or the Haftocha, the promise to Yitzchak he'll get Israel when Yitzchak was living there. It's like Yaakov who got Eretz Yisrael when he was outside Eretz Yisrael, when he was being chased by Lavan and by Esav. That was the Yaakov who will receive the Eretz Yisrael, and that is us who will receive wonderful blessings if we take on the Munna that we have through good times and use it for more difficult times. I just want to finish off with one beautiful, beautiful story. I'd like to read it out from a Pesach Krohn. And this is in the Splendor of the Maggid on page 270 and 271. The following story is a lesson in the Munna in the most difficult times. It is painful to read, but important to understand. It was told by Rabbi Yaakov Bender, Rosh Shiva of Yeshiva Darke Torah in Far Rockaway at a PTA gathering in a school. In the summer of 2011, Mrs. Sora Krigsman and her husband, Rav Sadia of Flatbush, realized that her illness was progressing in a very fast pace. The prognosis was not good. The terrible illness had been diagnosed 5.5 years earlier. It had been in remission, but had now returned more strongly than before. The Krigmans discussed whether to tell their children about the mother's serious condition. They decided to tell their three married children, but to wait until summer camp was over before telling the three younger boys. Let them have as pleasant a summer season as they can, reasoned Sora. There'll be time to tell them after camp. When the boys came home after the summer, they went directly to the hospital to visit their mother. She was weak and pale. Tears welled in the eyes of the youngest Hershey. His mother was even more frail than when he had last seen her 2 months earlier. He suddenly realized that there was a good chance that his mother would not win the battle. He looked up at her, burst into uncontrollable sobs, and said, "Mummy, why you? Why you?" Mrs. Krigsman held her son in her arms and waited for him to calm down. She wiped his tears gently, gave him a tissue, and then with the strength of the great woman of Klal Yisrael said softly to Hershey and the other young children, "When I became engaged at 19, and others in my high school who had graduated long before me were still looking for their shidduch, I did not ask why me. When we had children right away, and some of my friends who were married longer were struggling to have children, I did not ask why me. And when we had Panossa, and others on the block were struggling to make ends meet, I did not ask why me. And when we had nachas from all of you, and others did not have that kind of nachas, I never asked why me. You see, children, I have never asked a Kodesh Baruch Hu why me for the happy times, and so therefore I don't think it's proper at this time to ask why me either." And he finishes off. Hershey and his brothers were saddened but wiser. A few months later, the saintly woman who fought the illness till her last minute returned her soul to the Maker. Her incredible approach to life may give us an insight to a question that puzzled me. When we bless our daughters Friday night, we say, Yisimeich Elikim Kesora Rivka Rochel Valeo. However, every one of the Imois had a hard life. Sora didn't have children for a very long time. Rivka's husband was blind, and Asa was one of her sons. Rochel had no children for years, while her sister and maidservant had them with ease. The Torah even tells us that when Leah felt hated by her husband, what kind of blessing, therefore, are we giving to our daughters? Our Imois never asked why me. Despite the challenges, the unwavering Emunah and Hashem remained strong, and they stayed loyal to their husbands no matter how difficult the circumstances. They are our role models throughout history. Perhaps this is an underlying message and a blessing we give our daughters Friday night. May Hashem make you like Sora, Rivka, Rochel, and Leah. Whatever happens in life, be like these great women who never wavered. Life is filled with challenges. Do not let life break you. Build it into the edifice of faith. Thank you.
What's this for? It's something thick there, but it is.